As we continue Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, our series of shiurim on Kibud Av V'Eim, the Gemara on the Vav Amud Aleph says that this thing that we've been discussing about Kibud Av V'Eim is not only applicable in a situation that one is obligated in Kavod HaMakom, more than Kibud Av V'Eim, in a situation of Shmir Shabbos, the Gemara extrapolates that this halacha applies in other areas of halacha as well. And the Gemara therefore says, Yachal Amalai Aviv Hitame, if one's father told him to become Tame, or Shamalai Al Tachzir, or a father tells a son, don't perform the mitzvah of a Shabbos Haveda, Yachal Yishmalai, we would think that one is obligated to follow what the father says. Tamalaim ish imay v'aviv terou v'abshav soise tishmaru kulchem chayavim b'kvaydi. And the Gemara is teaching us that this halacha that we've been discussing is not limited to Shmir Shabbos, but it speaks to all areas. One is obligated to fulfill the request to fulfill kvayd hamokayim before kibur avayim. But in this Rashi, in the Gerushonim, that discuss this case of Hitamaloi, where the father tells the son to become Tame, we read the words of Rashi. Rashi says, Hitame b'beis akfaris. The father says, go into a beis akfaris, l'hashav aveda, to get back for me an item which I have lost. Or this item wasn't in a beis akfaris. There is no reason why the son should not, who is a kohen presumably, may not be able to give back the lost item, and he's to the person who lost it, and yet the father tells him, "Al taksa, don't return this item." And the halacha is teaching us that we should do hashavas aveda and not do what the father tells him. And if we learn Rashi, Rashi is actually explaining the Gemara with two situations. One is where the father tells him, don't return an Aveda. And one is where the father is telling him, don't return the Aveda. That's one situation. The other situation is where he tells him to go into Beis HaKfaris. And the question that the Mefarshim, that the Rishonim Archaner makes this point, it seems from here that there's an obligation of Kibur Av V'Eim even when the father has no toelos, even when the father has nothing to gain from this command. Because the Gemara here is teaching us, the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, where the father is telling the son, don't return this item. Not a, and only because, as we said a moment ago, Kavod HaMakom supersedes Kvod Kibud Av V'Eim, does he not have to listen to his father? It seems from here, if we weren't to learn that way, then Kibud Av V'Eim would be applicable. The question is, why is Kibud Av V'Eim applicable in a situation where the father tells him to do something from which the father has nothing to gain or to lose? Said differently, the question that comes up is, if a mother, tell a child to do something from which they have no benefit, they have nothing to gain from the father or the son, from the son doing what they asked, is there a chiyuv or kibud av v'eim or not? From Rashi, it's quite obvious that he holds as a chiv kibur of under all situation. The Ramban, the Rashba, disagree. And they say that if a father tells a son to do something from which he has no toelos, there's no chiv kibur of aim. Different than what Rashi explains. And the question is, indeed, why is there a chiv of kibur of aim when the father has nothing to gain by the son doing what he asked them to do? The Ritva, as we said, indeed says that there is no chiv kibur of aim under such circumstances. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says as follows. He said, in other words, we have here three opinions. The opinion of the Ritva is that the only time a kibur of aim is applicable is where the father, where the parent has something to gain with what the son told him to do. That's the Rashba's opinion. Rashi's opinion, as we see from the Rashi here, is that the mitzvah kibur of aim applies under all circumstances. Even if a parent tells a child to do something from which he or she have nothing to gain. The Rashba takes a third approach. He says as follows. The mitzvah of kibur of aim applies whether the father has something to gain, has benefit from what he told the son to do, or does not have benefit from what he told the son to do. He says, however, as far as the discussion in our Gemara, where our Gemara is saying, where our Gemara is discussing, does the mitzvah kibur of aim have the ability to be doicholav? Does it not have the ability to be doicholav? Says the Rashba, the Gemara never had a havamina that if the father asked the son to do something from which he has no benefit, that type of kibur of aim should be able to be doicha alav. Only in a situation where the father had some benefit did the Gemara have a consideration that perhaps it should be doicha kibur of aim. And to that the Gemara says that it does not have the ability to be doicha kibur of aim. And the Birkei Shmuel, Rav Baruch Ber, explains this in Masechta Kedushin. He says, when a father asks why the Rashba makes such a distinction, he says as follows. He says that when a father asks a son to do something from which the father has benefit, and the son doesn't do it, so he was mevatel mitzvah saseh. My father wants me to do something for which he can benefit. By me not doing it, I've been mevatel a mitzvah saseh. When, however, my father asks me to do something for which he has no benefit, that's not called being mevatel saseh. That's called losing an opportunity to be mekayim in a saseh. In other words, Rav Baruch Ber saying something very deep. Rav Baruch Ber saying that there are two types of mitzvahs asay. There are mitzvahs asay that I'm obligated to do, and there are mitzvahs asay that I'm not obligated to do, but if I do the act, I will get a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvahs asay that my father has benefit from is doing a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do. And only on that type of mitzvah is there a consideration in our Gemara that it should have the ability to be doicha lav. Doing a mitzvah say that indeed when I do it, I get a mitzvah for doing it, but I'm not obligated to do it. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, that I get a mitzvah for doing it, that the Gemara never considered was the type of a mitzvah for which it should be able to be doicha alav. The Makna has also in Masechta Kedushin has a different approach. His approach is that there are two mitzvahs when it comes to kibur of aim. There's a mitzvah of kibur of aim, and there's a mitzvah of moira of aim. So he explains that indeed, when one's parent asks him to do something that the parent has no benefit from, there is no mitzvah of kibur of aim, but it still falls into the category of moira of aim. Because just like we know that included in the category of moira of aim is that one should not contradict what a parent says, So if a parent asks a child to do something, even if the parent has nothing to benefit from this request, if he doesn't do what his father requests of him, that's considered soiser estevarv, which is connected to a different machloikus, a machloikus rishonim. And that is when there's a halacha that shlayista estevarv, one is not allowed to contradict the parent. Is that only befonav? Is that only in front of the parent? Or even shloy befonav? So if we say that the obligation, that the chiv of Moira is even shloy befonav, we could understand why, if you're not going to do what the parent asks, even though the parent has no benefit, it's considered soiser stvarov. But if it's not, if the din of soiser stvarov only applies in front of the parent, in the presence of the parent, then this would not be considered soiser stvarov if you don't do something that doesn't benefit the parent. Reb Reuven Grizovsky says that even the Rajba, who we quoted earlier in our shir, is of the opinion that there is no chiv of kibur of the aim when the parent has no benefit from the request they made of their child. Says Reb Reuven, the Rajba will agree that the child still has to fulfill the parent's request because of the halacha of moira avein. And Reb Reuven, following the concept that we said earlier in our shir, however, says that our Gemara that was questioning if Kibur HaVeim supersedes Kibur HaMokom, or does Kibur HaMokom supersede Kibur HaVeim, was only speaking about Kibur HaVeim. Why? Because by Kibur HaVeim, there's a concept of Hukush Kvoidom L'Kvoid HaMokom, that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu equates or compares the covered one must show to a parent, to the covered one must show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since that halacha only is by covered, not by Moira, there was never a Havamina, says Reb Reuven, that Moira should supersede covered HaMokom. And therefore, the Rajba is understandable when the Rajba says that if the parent has nothing to benefit from his request, from their request, there is no chiv of kibud, and still the Gemara is not a problem. There is moira, and one has to therefore do it, but there is no kibud, and therefore that isn't a situation that would ever be a havamina to supersede covered hamakom. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Reish Mem in Yoredeya, Hilchas Kibur HaVeim, we find a number of very important halachas. In Sif Tezvav, teaches us the Shulchan Aruch. Amalei Aviv Lava Divrei Torah, if a parent tells a child to violate what it says in the Torah, Bei Mitzvah Saseh, Bei Mitzvah Lo Saseh, whether he told him to violate a Mitzvah Saseh, whether he told him to violate a Mitzvah Lo Saseh, Vafilu Mitzvah Shal Divreim, even a derabbanon loy yishmalai, one should not do what the parent says. And the Shulchan Aruch continues in Sif Tezayin, Haf shetzivas benoy shloy daber imploini. A father tells a son not to speak with a certain individual. V'shloyim chloy adzman kotzev, or he shouldn't be meichel a person that the son had a dispute with. If not for what his father told him, he would make peace with this individual immediately. Now, but he has a problem that his father told him differently. So he doesn't have to listen to what his father says. And there are a number of interesting halachas that the Paiskim here extrapolate. In the Sefer Beis Lechem Yehuda, he says that let's say there's a situation where a son wants to fast, and he knows his parents will be upset because he's fasting, he shouldn't fast unless it's a mitzvah to fast on a certain day, but he shouldn't accept upon himself extra fast. The Beis Lechem Yehuda, however, discusses another interesting question, a question that comes up. He speaks about a situation where one's father was not well, and the doctor told the father not to eat a certain food, not to drink a certain beverage, and the father asked the son to give it to him anyway. And the father even uses strong language by telling him, "Im loy titen li, if you won't give me what I asked for, loy emchaloch, loy ba'olam hazev, loy olam haba, not in this world and not in the next world." He doesn't have to listen to what his parent asks. I saw this question, and the Birkei Yosef here in the Shulchan Aruch says the exact same, takes the exact same approach. And I saw that this question comes up. But let's say one's father smokes cigarettes, and we know how unhealthy it is to smoke cigarette. The halacha is, as we see here, the father asked the son for a cigarette. He should not give the father the cigarette. As we see here in the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that even by mitzvah d'rabbanan, one should not listen, and the father tells the son to violate a mitzvah d'rabbanan, one should not listen to what the father says. And the reason is, because as we learn in our shir, Kochim chayovim bekfoidi, and included in the covered hamakim is following mitzvahs drabonon. Therefore, even if it involves a mitzvah drabonon, he shouldn't listen to what the father tells him. The paiskim, however, discuss a number of situations where it's not that clear based on this concept what should be done. The Mashal discusses the situation where a son's mother passed away, and the father doesn't want the son to say Kaddish. Even not because he necessarily had a dispute with the mother, even though that could be sometimes the reason. He takes it as a bad simon if his son is saying Kaddish while he's still alive. So the Pesach Tshuva and the Birkei Yosef both say that this is considered like the father's requesting him to be over the Rabbanon, and therefore he shouldn't listen to what the son says. And the Birkei Yosef takes this a step further. He says that even if one could argue that saying Kaddish is not really a real derabbanon, it's only a minig, still, since it's a minig that everybody follows, the halacha is that he should say the Kaddish of the mother and not of the father. On the other hand, if there are other minhagim involved, like the Pesach Tshuva says, let's say they had a minig apparently that the Avelim would wear certain clothing, and the father does not want the son to wear those clothing, the halach is that the son should not wear the clothing, because wearing these clothing is only a minig. It's only a minig, and therefore, since it's a minig, that kibra of aim supersedes. In the Shalos Tshuvos Knesses Yecheskel, there's a discussion where a son was honored to be a sandik at a bris, and the father does not want the son to take that sandakos. So certainly, one is not obligated to take a sandakos. So the question is, here does the sun, what should the sun do? And it really goes back to the issue that we discussed earlier in our shiur. Because earlier in our shiur, we discussed the situation, is a son obligated in kibra of aim or mayur of aim where the father has no benefit? So, the way the Knesset Yecheskel paskins, he says, number one, as we quoted earlier, there are many Rishonim of the opinion that when the parent has no benefit, there is no kibra of aim, even though we said that many disagree, and even the ones that say that there isn't, they maybe only mean versus a lav. Furthermore, it could be that this is a mitzvah also to take sandakos, and also in the situation that the Knesset Yecheskel discusses, it's a situation where the son already accepted the sandakos, and therefore the Knesset Yecheskel paskins that the son could take the sandakos. The Shaul Satchuvas Chavis Yor speaks about a situation where there's a mother who was very ill, and before she passed away, she told her son that she was leaving her son apparently a house as a Yerusha, but she told the son that he should not rent the house out to anybody. But in this apartment, there was already living a Talmud Chacham, a very old Talmud Chacham. And we know there's an important rule of respecting Talmid Chachamim. He says that one should not continue renting the apartment to that Talmud Chacham. He says, because even though certainly there is a mitzvah to show respect to Talmid Chachamim and help Talmid Chachamim, he doesn't have the obligation to rent an apartment to this Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham can rent an apartment elsewhere, and therefore the mitzvah kibra aim supersedes. And similarly, in the Shaul Satchuvas Chaim Shaul, there's a discussion where a parent told his child, I don't want you to be ever an administrator for a yisoymim, for a tzedakah fund, and even though involves a great mitzvah, since someone else could do that job, he has to follow what the parents said. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Sif Chav Hei to teach us Talmud Shroitz Leleches L'makam Acher. If the son wants to go to learn somewhere, Shubitech by Shiyir Simon Brach B'Talmudai, where he's convinced that he will succeed in his learning, Lefnei Harav Shasham, in front of that, in that yeshiva, Vavav Moichabai, the father doesn't want him to go there, Lefi Shadoik Shabai Seir Ha'ib Dekham Malilim, he feels that that is not a safe place. Question comes up, let's say his son wants to learn in Eretz Yisrael, and the parents are concerned because of the security situation, Ein Tzarech L'Shmoil Ovi B'Zeh. And in fact, the Pesachei Tshuva says, who could know, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Sefer Chamudah Daniel. The Chamudah Daniel is faced with a very obvious question. Who could say for certainty that they will succeed in learning in that place and not somewhere else, that we now have this challenge of Kibra Vein? And therefore the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chamudah Daniel, that even if he's not 100% certain, but he thinks he'll succeed there, he should go learn there. And the Pesachei Tshuva quotes another interesting halacha. He says, if a son wants to daven in a certain shul because he feels he could daven there, and his mother doesn't want him to daven in that shul, says the Pesachei Tshuva, he doesn't have to listen to his mother. Furthermore, if we look earlier in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen, in Sift Hezvav here, in Simen Reshmem says, Talmud Torah Gadol Mikibur Ovein. And both in the Shach and the Taz bring the same Raya based on a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, when we know that Yaakov Avinu wasn't home by his parents for many years, but for the 14 years For the years that he was in the home of Lavan, he was punished. Those 22 years. But for the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver, he wasn't punished for not being with his parents. Why? Because Talmud Torah Yosem Kibra Ve'Aim. But here too, the Pesach Tshuva says a very interesting halacha. The Pesach Tshuva says that only if the son is not learning in the same city as where his parents live, so there he can't obviously be available to take care of his parents or help his parents. He says if a son is, however, if a child is, however, the same town as his parents, even though the son is learning in yeshiva, that doesn't excuse him from Kibbutz of the Aim. And if he's in the same city as his parents, he has to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz of the Aim. The Shiles of Tshuvas Maran Rattenberg says that if a son wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and the parent doesn't want him to live in Eretz Yisrael, he still could go live in Eretz Yisrael, because living in Eretz Yisrael is a Dvar Mitzvah. The Chachmas Adam brings a Raya, because he brings a Raya from Parashas Lech Lecha, where Avram Avinu was allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though he left Terech behind. But the Chachmas Adam says, let's think about that. The only reason Avram Avinu was allowed to go was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go, Lech Lecha. It seems that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not told him to go, he would not be allowed to go even to Eretz Yisrael if it means that his parents don't want him to. And therefore, this is not such a simple question if one may move to Eretz Yisrael against the wishes of one's parents. The Ramah here in Simon Reish Mem, at the end of Sif Chei, continues. The father wants the son to marry one girl. The son wants to marry another girl. He need not listen to what the father says. However, I saw that the Shas Tshuva's Torah Lishma in Simon Reish Samech Vav discusses the situation. What happens if there's a daughter who a parent told her not to get married? So now it's a much more complicated question. Because by the son is obligated in the mitzvah Purur Revu. And since the son is obligated in the mitzvah Purur Revu, that's why he doesn't have to listen to his parent. But he, a girl, is not obligated in the mitzvah Purur Revu. And therefore, what's the halacha here? Does Kibra Aveim supersede? And the Shiles of Tshuva's Torah Lishma Paskins, that if the woman has a reason that she wants to get married, because she feels if she won't be married, she maybe won't act and behave appropriately, so then her getting married also involves a mitzvah, and that's when she has to listen to a parent. But without such a consideration, the Shas Tshuva's Torah Lishma says, maybe she has to listen to a parent and not get married.